Shall we turn in our Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 14, page 1041. Ephesians 6, 13 through 14. And we will read together. Let's begin. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. May God bless his words to our hearts today. The church's armor, truth and righteousness. Well, beloved in the Lord, God gave the church great wealth. Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. Then God directed the church in her godly walk. Chapter 4 through 6, 9. God then challenged the church to be engaged in warfare. And yes, the church has to fight. The Christian life has great joys, but it is not a cruise. It is a war. And the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians the truth so they could really be prepared to fight in this war. Now, last week you saw the principles of the church's warfare. The church was admonished to fight. Then second, you see the church was armed to fight with the armor of God. And then third, the Christians were introduced to the adversary they had to fight, the devil, and how dangerous he was. Today we will pick up with the details of the armor that God gives his church in which she must fight. And our headings are, you fight with the whole armor of God. Second, you fight with truthfulness. And third, you fight with righteousness. Our goals are that you will be thankful for and use the armor the Lord has given to you to fight and conquer the world and bring the nations under his dominion. So you must fight with the whole armor of God. Therefore, verse 13 says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now the Ephesians' armor was from God, the whole armor of God, God's armor. Man's armor is not good enough. Their armor just could not handle the devil, the world, and their flesh. The pull of sin is too strong. But more than putting on the armor, the Ephesians were told to use the whole armor. Now, you see, we talked about this last week. The statement is a repeat from verse 11. But when God repeats something, it is intended to be repeated. Remember, there are no extra words in the Bible. And why would God repeat it? Because the enemy is really, really dangerous. The devil, the world, and your flesh are strong. And just like you would warn somebody, be very careful how you walk. Make sure you watch where you're going. Watch out for the ice. You repeat something because you really want them to pay attention. Now, only if the Ephesians used the whole armor of God, not their armor, would they be safe. With the whole armor, they would be able to stand up and face the devil and his people and fight them. With the armor, they were protected. Now, the people of God could not use, we don't use guile and deception as the devil uses against us. Remember, we said he comes in 1,000 different ways to tempt you. We are called to stand up and fight. And you need the full armor of God to stand in open defiance of the evil one. Now, he also mentions that about the evil day, that you'll be able to withstand the devil on that evil day. What is that? What was that evil day? Is that speaking of the end of the world? No. An evil day was any time the devil launched a special assault on God's people. And the truth is, some days are worse than others. In your Christian life, sometimes you'll go through things and you think, I'm doing well, things are going well, and I'm thankful, I'm happy. And then some days you feel overwhelmed and the devil tempts you, and that's what he means by on that evil day, that bad day. The fact is, the devil likes to make people relax and then suddenly attacks them when they become complacent. You know, if things are going well, you're in good health, you're reading your Bible, you're going to church, seems like it's going well, and then he pounces. He pounces. And that's the danger of coasting in your Christian life. And he will attack at any minute, or he could attack at any day. He can attack in 1,000 ways. That's his guile. But not only will the Ephesians be able to stand up and fight against the devil on those days when he attacked, or those times of the days in which he attacks, but the Bible says when all is said and done, you will be left standing. When would that time be? That's the end of the world. If you keep using the devil's, the armor that God's given to you, keep fighting the devil, you will be able to get him anytime he sneaks up, in 1,000 ways he comes, and in the end, you will be left standing. Ultimate victory will be yours. But more than that, ultimate reward will be yours. And he says, having done all to stand, we will be able to stand because we are fighting with the devil, fighting the devil with the Lord's armor. So just a few points of application here, 3 of them. Spiritual armor to the Christian is like body armor to the soldier. Don't live without it. Don't get out of bed without it. Don't fight without it. Pray for it. 2, don't leave cracks in your armor. We talked some about this last week. Watch out for small sins. Those tiny cracks in your spiritual armor that could begin a series of deadly events. If you ignore your devotions, for example, you leave that little hole in your armor. Watch out what happens. If you miss it a few days, you'll find the word is not there. You won't be as encouraged. In fact, you could be discouraged. And when you're discouraged, you might not act the way you should. You might not say the things you should. You won't be kind to your children or your wife or your husband or your co-workers or your teacher in school. Why? Because you're not being fed. What happens when you're not fed? Ask every man here. He's hungry. He's cranky. I always counsel people and say, feed your husbands first before you tell him the bad things. Why? Because when you're hungry, you're more irritated. And the same thing is true spiritually. You get cranky if you're not nourished with the Word of God. And then you end up hurting others, causing trouble at home or in the office. What about those, and because it's so relevant in our culture today, what about those who are trapped in pornography? That little crack, you think, well, it's not hurting anybody. Well, it causes you to fall into lust. And then that lust causes someone to commit adultery. And then there are other kinds of perversions that come, and then eventually even murder. You ever read the story of Ted Bundy? He talks about how he was pulled in by pornography, and one thing to the other, end up murdering 46 or 47 people. Now, most people don't end up that far. But boy, look at the pain and the hurt and the suffering. And it started with one little area. He went to church, you know. But he started leaving that door open. The armor wasn't there. Or something as simple as hate. A little bit of hate affects how you respond to others. That hate can turn into resentment. And sometimes even undermining a relationship. Sometimes ending in divorce and the destruction of a family. Just a little bit of hate. So watch out for the little cracks in your armor. Make sure it is good armor that you cover yourselves with to protect yourself when you fight. Third lesson, stand and fight when the devil and his demons come after you. Don't run away. Stay in your ranks. Fight together with other believers. This is how you encourage each other. You challenge each other to live well and fight with the whole armor. You see, the devil senses weakness. That's the place he's coming. If he sees you have a weakness, maybe it's for food, or maybe it's for pornography, or maybe it's for sports, or something that takes over your life. Those computer games, video games. I heard of someone who spends 3 hours a day watching people play video games. Not just playing, but watching people play. You realize how much time is spent in a year watching and playing. That's not healthy. That destroys yourself, your family, your church. It really hurts the kingdom and your Savior. You know, when the lions are looking for something to eat, they don't look for the strongest, biggest, fastest animal. They're looking for the sickly one, the weak one. It's the weak or the sickly gazelle that gets eaten. Stay together, strengthen each other to fight. Then we come to the second point. You have to use the whole armor of God, otherwise you have a crack, he gets in there, the devil, and he can destroy you. But the Apostle Paul then goes on and say, fight with truthfulness. Truthfulness. Now, I must admit, when I start looking at this, I thought, of course, this is speaking of the gospel, and you need to use the gospel, but that's not what this is. And there are lots of reasons why that's not what this point is here. We won't take the time to get into that, but you will see the point, the main point. The Ephesians needed to stand and fight with truth, just as the Roman soldiers fought with their belts. Yes, truth is a weapon, part of your armor you receive from God. So how was truth to be used? Well, a Roman soldier had at least 3 wide belts around his waist to hold his clothing in so he could walk and fight. And then he would even put his weapons, sticking them into his belt. Look at a good example in your sermon notes of how to use a belt to allow fast movement as the children of Israel were getting ready to leave Egypt. Verse 11 together, and thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Get ready, strap on your clothing with your belts, and that's the truth, and then leave. So the soldier's truth helped him to fight. He could not fight properly if he did not have on his belts. Now, to understand how the Christian used truth as a Roman soldier used his belt, you have to know exactly what truth is here. Truth can be used in various ways in the scripture. It can mean an established fact, 2 + 2 = 4. It can be used as a doctrine. God is one God in 3 persons. It can be used of the gospel. This is truth that gives life, Jesus said. But it's also used in a little different way. It is used in terms of sincerity or genuineness or dedicated to something. The Christian soldier then could not pretend when he fought. That's the intention of this text. He had to be truthful. He had to fight with, better word, conviction of what was inside, around his belly. He had to feel it. You know, we hear people say that, I feel it in my guts. I feel it in my belly. It's there. That's what this is speaking of. So it was not referring to the gospel, but a sincerity, a truthfulness, a commitment to Christ that's on the inside. He will talk about the gospel a little bit later. This made sense, of course, as the waist or the loins was considered the seat of strength. And when that truth was close to the Christian, he could stand up firm and fight and not fall. Look at this picture for us in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 27. Together, no one will be weary or stumble among them. No one will slumber or sleep, nor will the belt of their loins be loosed, nor the strap of their sandals be broken. In other words, they'll be able to stand up and face the enemy. The thing is this, if the truth isn't close to the Christian, in other words, if the truth is not in his heart, he would be manipulated by the devil. He would be fooled by the devil like the devil fooled Eve. When Eve shut out the word of God from her heart, what was the result? She picked up the fruit and caused judgment on all mankind. So you have to fight with that inward conviction if you're going to succeed. A couple of points of application. Fight with conviction. Don't doubt. Be convinced of what you believe. Don't negotiate with the devil when he tempts you. I love the example of Jesus Christ when he was being tempted. And the devil was trying to be tough. First in the temptation in the wilderness, on the looking on the mountains, and then on top of the temple. But then the devil was always trying to appear to be stronger than he was. Look at the way Jesus talked to the demon in Mark chapter 1, verse 25. Together, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." You notice he didn't negotiate. He said, "What do you want to leave? What can I give you?" See, sometimes that's the way we like to deal with sin. But when something is wrong, we need to draw the line and say, "No, that is sin. I will not participate." As tempting as it may be, like Eve looking at the fruit, she said, "Ah, it's good for food. Ah, it's attractive. I should get her. Why shouldn't I get that?" Look at another example from the Apostle James and how he teaches us to confront and to fight with that inner conviction. James chapter 4, verse 7. Together, "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." That's a fight back. That's standing up to him. You need conviction of the truth for your own sake. Well, you need conviction of truth because people will see if you really believe the gospel. And I think sometimes that can be a hindrance with the effectiveness of our gospels because people don't see that conviction. Maybe the conviction isn't there. But when you talk about Jesus, people must see that you really believe what you're saying. And second lesson, when people hear the gospel and they see the reality of the gospel in you, the work of the gospel, that genuineness that indeed Jesus has saved you, that your life has changed, that the way you talk has changed, by the choices you make that they have changed, then they will be moved to turn to Jesus. Not always, but that's what is required. That people see the difference in your life. If there's no difference of truth in your life from before, how can you tell others about Jesus? But they need to see that. To see the way you talk to your wife, the way you teach your children, the excitement you have in going to worship God like you should. Say, "Wow, there's something different." The kinds of jokes he used to make, you don't hear those anymore. The honesty, the way he talks about the boss is different. That's when you see that that thing is on the inside. That truth has had some impact. That is what will open the door for the gospel. May people never doubt that you genuinely believe in Jesus. Let's come to that third point. You fight with your righteousness. You have to have the whole armor. Particular, you need to have that conviction, that truth inside of you. That truthfulness, that genuineness. But then he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the Ephesian Christians were challenged to stand and fight with righteousness, just as the Romans fought with their breastplates. Righteousness, then, is another part of the armor with which Christians must fight so they could win the world for Jesus. Now, how was that righteousness used? First, you have to think of the Roman soldier. The Roman soldier generally had a metal breastplate that protected from his shoulder down, sometimes even past his knees, but at least to his loins, and was usually in two pieces. If the soldier were really well off, then he would have a breastplate made of chainmail, which was even more convenient and gave more protection. The soldier's breastplate protected all his vital organs, his heart and his lungs, so he could keep fighting. I mean, you could get injured in some other part of your body, but you tie that up and you keep going. You couldn't if your lungs or your heart, the important organs, were damaged. So then, the Apostle Paul wanted the Christians to use their righteousness, which God, of course, helps them to have, to fight for the kingdom. This picture of the righteousness being that protection was already in the Old Testament. And again, this is not speaking of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, that righteousness that's counted as ours, but the practice of your righteousness. Look at how this is done, shown to us in Isaiah 59. And this is speaking, of course, of the Lord Jesus, verse 17. Together, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. This is describing Jesus preparing to battle the enemies of his people. So while Christians' good works are never perfect, they were to do their best to win the world by their right actions, their godliness. The good works had to be in front of their faces, on the faces of the people that they're doing battle with, including the devil, or maybe that co-worker, or maybe that husband or wife who is trying to push you to do something contrary to God's law. You need to have that good works in front of them. Just as a soldier stood up to the enemy with that breastplate to protect him, so your good works must be before you. Now, Christians had to practice righteousness to know how to use it. You have a weapon, you have to learn how to use it. It would make no benefit if you've never used a gun to suddenly pull out a gun and try to protect yourself with it. Look at how the Apostle John talks about this in 1 John 3, verse 7. Together, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. You know what I'm saying there? Many people talk about a good talk, but he's saying you have to practice righteousness to show you are indeed righteous. And this is important. Again, when I was reading this point, I thought, this must be talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's in us. But no, this is speaking of how we respond to the righteousness of Jesus in us. If we want to conquer the devil, the world, and our flesh, we have to do so by living godly lives in front of others. If we don't practice righteousness, we will fall into sin and bring shame to Christ. This is what happened to David when he allowed his eyes to wander on Bathsheba. Should have been doing something else. Should have been leading his people in war. Should have been doing the work of the king, and instead, his eyes wander. How did that help his cause? Look at the shame. Look at the suffering and the pain and the death. He lost a child. Bathsheba lost a husband. David lost a lot of respect. This is what happened to Judas when he was offered money. Money came in. One was adultery. This one was money. And he thought, I want to do good, but I love money. See how the devil uses that little crack in the armor to get in. What about Achan? He's the one who saw clothing and gold, and he thought, that's good future there. I can take care of my future with all those bars of the bars of gold. Well, wrong living hurts the Christian. It also hurts the Christian cause. It hurts the kingdom. It hurts the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider a few lessons. Know that your righteousness is from the Lord Jesus, and praise Him for it. You got no righteousness in and of yourself. You could do nothing good without Jesus loving you and saving you and enabling you to obey Him. Period. Second, now that you have been restored to the Father through the Son, practice righteousness. You've been enriched. The wealth of the church. You've been told how to walk, how to live in your Christian life. And He says, you've got to fight. You've got this warfare. And in order to fight, you have to use truthfulness or sincerity, that commitment on the inside, and you have to fight with good works. You can't just say, we're giving out lots of Bibles. Well, how's the Bible in your life? Are you living the Bible? That's what adds. That's why I often tell people, invite people to your home. Let them see Christ in you. Let them see the way you deal with your family, the way you talk, the way you answer when that telephone rings and somebody's trying to sell you duck cleaning. How you respond to that. See, all of that, you're showing the gospel in your life. You're showing the gospel. Show that gospel that others may be saved. Let the world see that love, that patience. You know what happens if a baby just keeps screaming and screaming and somebody comes over and you want to talk to them? And then what happens? It's very easy to get angry with the baby. But if you show patience there, you're doing something far more powerful than sermons. When people see your generosity, the friendliness, there's a lot of concern because of how some of the Chinese Christian or Chinese people are being treated in Canada. There's concern. As soon as someone sees a Chinese person, they want to, I should move away a little bit. Maybe they've got... What does that tell you? How does that reflect that good works, that righteousness that is in you? No, I'm not talking about going and making a trip to Wuhan. I'm talking about just simply the way you treat other people, the respect, the friendliness. See, these things add power to the gospel. Just like that truth and sincerity, they add something. The gospel is Jesus Christ, of course. But this makes it, people can see that that gospel is at work in you. And that adds something to the gospel. It's your righteousness, your faithful obedience to the Lord that will then chase the devil away and bring others in. The devil can't stand those good works and good works and good works. You start singing the praises of God, the devil is not going to be sticking around. That's one of the reasons it's good to be singing in your home and teaching your children and memorizing those passages of Scripture. Let's read a few passages to close up. Matthew 5, verse 16. Together, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the righteousness. That's the righteousness. People will say, I see Jesus in that person's life. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. Together, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Ah, it shows you have been saved, and it opens the door for others to be saved. Because people will see your life, and they'll see the gospel of work and say, yeah, come, I want what you've got. And then you tell them about Jesus. Let's conclude. The Ephesians needed the whole armor of God, defensive weapons and offensive weapons, so they could hold their ground and fight the devil. Specifically, they had to fight with truthfulness and sincerity. Truth and sincerity that added power to the gospel and drew the pagan to Jesus. That's the goal. The niceness will bring them to maybe listen. What's the gospel that will have the impact, of course? And that will chase the devil away. And they had to fight with righteous living. This too added power to the gospel and drew the pagan to Jesus. And this too made the devil, would make the devil leave. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, keep the whole armor of God that he has given to you. Don't leave a crack or a crevice that the devil may use to exploit and ultimately destroy you. Remember, just one crack in the dam will let loose the torrent. You've seen that. You see how important a crack is, that you take care of it before the whole thing breaks open. Specifically, stand sincerely on the truth of God's word and practice living truth, living righteously. And then train your children and challenge your fellow brothers and sisters to live that way. And show that conviction of truth and righteous actions. Show that to the world so that they may be drawn to the Savior and surrender to Him. They will learn that Jesus came and lived and died for sinners. And if they put their trust in Him, they will have eternal life. Be rescued from judgment. Yeah, the Lord gave you spiritual wealth. Yes, the Lord directed you how you should walk, how you could walk successfully. Now fight for Him. And if you're not a Christian, you've actually bought Satan's pack of lies, telling you that your soul is in good shape. You need to get rid of that pack of lies and ask God to show you His truth, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior, the only Savior. God will do as you ask. That is His promise, but He will do more. He will give you the armor to help you to fight against your former master and win those who are yet under His grasp. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words today. Thank you for the whole armor that you have given to us. Help us to watch, Lord, for those little cracks that can open up the way for us to fall into bigger and bigger sin and take us away from the task that we have of fighting for Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to have that conviction in our hearts, that truth that becomes the ground, the basis of our actions. And help us to fight with righteous actions, that people will see godliness in us. And then they will say, How come you're living that way? And then we can tell them about Jesus. Help us not to hide those righteous works behind the walls of our homes, but show them wherever we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.